Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. You know, I keep an eye on politics, and if you listen to this show, I've always told you, I've been honest with you, I am a libertarian. That's my political party. And even though I don't agree with 100% of what libertarians say, I agree with much of what they say. And I'm just for lesser government, smaller government, more personal freedom, and more personal responsibility. That's how I feel about things. But in this day and age of social media, you can't even really go on Facebook anymore and try to have a conversation with someone about politics. For instance, because so many people that make so much noise on Facebook and on social media, they're... party, their person can do no wrong. I told you, I support Donald Trump, but there are some things he says and does that I don't agree with. Yet I have some friends on Facebook. Donald Trump can do absolutely no wrong. There is no wrong he can do, and they will argue. And
there's no right he can do, you mean?
Well, no, that's those. I have friends like that the political left.
Gotcha.
But whether it's my friends on the political left that would scream and scream that, you know, he can do no wrong, or my friends on the political left that scream he can do no right. And it's every little issue like that. For instance, that video from last week with CNN's Jim Acosta.
Right.
The rumor now going around is that the website InfoWars edited the video a little bit to make it look like Jim Acosta was more physically aggressive with the young White House aide who was trying to take the microphone out of his hand during the Donald Trump press conference last week.
Well, now, slow down. The press conference was, I'm guessing, probably not aired by all three networks. I didn't see it. You saw it.
I did watch it live, it was the definition of a circus.
Right, when we played some of the audio on the air.
The only thing it was missing was a juggling dwarf walking through the middle of that press conference.
And the cigarette girl. Cigarettes, yeah. Tipperello.
That's what it was missing.
But you saw it live on CNN, I'm guessing.
Either Fox News or CNN. Okay. I was watching it on.
So I'm puzzled by, I mean, how does InfoWars, the website of the nut job,
Alex Jones,
how does that get involved? They wouldn't be.
But they had a video. They had video of it.
You're telling me. Wait. Well, they took a video of whatever the source was, whether it be CNN or Fox News, and you're saying they doctored it and put that out, and so that some people who saw the video saw their doctored version.
I'm saying that's what they're being accused of doing.
Okay.
And when I saw it live, I even said it the next day, Brewster, on this show.
So people,
I don't think he got physical with her. He was just trying to hold on to his microphone that Donald Trump was telling his aide to take away from Jim Acosta from CNN.
Right. I still haven't seen the video, so I can't have any opinion on this. I'm perplexed as to, I guess InfoWars, I guess the upshot of this is that if you saw the video shared by someone, if you shared it and I watched your share of the video, I may or may not have seen the one doctored by InfoWars and not know it.
And there were some shows last night that were playing the InfoWars video with the real video right next to each other, and there's a little bit of a difference, but here's why I brought this up.
Right, but my God, people with just too much time on their hands.
Yeah, exactly. Here's why I brought this up. Go to see my Facebook friends, you know, the pro-Trumpers that hate CNN and Jim Acosta,
right.
They're all saying he should be arrested for assaulting the woman. The Trump haters, my Facebook friends, the anti-Trumpers, they're all saying, if you think Jim Acosta did anything wrong, unfriend me now. I mean, that's every little thing that happens. Well, this is how people are on Facebook and social media.
How many times have I said on this show, and both off the air to you, you and I have talked about it, that it's at some point it became so volatile with Donald Trump and the hatred of him that it's like all bets are off. Everything is to the death. I don't know a better way to describe that, but it's just, you can't have the discourse and then you have one position, I have another, then we'll go have a beer. I mean, it is just like a pit bull hanging at the end of a rope with his teeth, and I'll get you and that Donald Trump, you know, and your little dog too. It's just how did it get so? How did we as human beings get ratcheted up this high?
Well, social media has something to do with it.
Well, and here's the example that I will give you, and you know this story, because I've told you this off the air. I had a friend for just short of 30 years before the election. And on this person's Facebook page, they had a little thread going back and forth about right versus left, whatever it was. And I put some comment in there. I said, yeah, when is the last time a bum ever gave somebody a job? And my friend said, hey, can you take that off? He happens to be gay, lives in Chicago. We were friends forever. And so I took it off. But in the meantime, he unfriended me.
Wow.
And that is really the only way that we kept in touch. Kind of drifted apart, but still would maybe talk a couple of times on the year. But Facebook was our way of keeping up with each other's comings and goings and stuff he did, stuff my wife and I do. And he unfriended me.
That's something else.
And that's it.
We should be above that.
That's it. He's dead to me.
We should be able to agree to disagree about politics. That's the thing that makes this country great, one of the many. But, Brewster. What happened last week at that press conference, sure, Trump might have been a little bit wrong for berating Jim Acosta the way he was, and he kept saying, you're done, give up the mic, you're done, you're done.
Right.
Jim Acosta was wrong for not giving up the mic when the president of the United States told him he's done and give up the mic.
Agreed.
So Jim Acosta was wrong for not giving up the mic. But every little thing that happens, people just jump on a side and they'll fight to the death. And
again, I know the phrase to the death is not it's not appropriate. It's not the right thing, but I don't know what else to call it.
Well, when you get unfriended and you lose contact with people on social media because you disagree with them over things like that, in a way, that's the death. In a way, because you're no longer talking to your friend, and I know other people on Facebook that are no longer talking to other friends because they disagree politically, and when anything, even like a reporter from CNN with the microphone, people just, they go to one side of that argument, and they're not going to budge.
They're hundreds of miles away. That's not an invasion.
Honestly, I think you should let me run the country. You run CNN.
All right.
And if you did it well, your ratings would be much better.
Let me ask, if I may ask one other question. Mr. President, if I may ask one other question, are you worried?
That's enough. That's enough.
Mr. President, I was going to ask one of the other folks.
That's enough.
Pardon me, ma'am.
That's enough.
Mr. President, I had one other question, if I may ask, on the Russia investigation. Are you concerned that you may have?
I'm not concerned about anything with the Russian investigation because it's a hoax. That's enough. Put down the mic.
See, Jim Acosta was wrong when the president of the United States says that's enough. No more questions from you. I'm put down your microphone. You need to listen to him.
Yep.
He's the president of the United States. Jim Acosta did not listen to him. And that's why the young, attractive woman, the White House aide, came over to try to take the mic.
Right.
And then he put his hand on the mic. And to some people, it looked like he assaulted her. And now that tape may have been edited. But even little things like that, it's just, Brewster, it gets blown out of proportion. It makes me not even want to follow politics anymore.
See, I knew it. You'd come around to my side. Join me on the party of just leave me alone. I welcome you. I welcome you to my side.
Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. Boy, the New Orleans Saints are a juggernaut. They seem to be getting better every week. Not only are they, and I think most people would agree now, they're the best team in the NFL. They lost the first game of the season, haven't lost since. We're over the halfway point. But, the other team in the NFC, the Los Angeles Rams, who has one loss, that was the loss that the Saints gave them. You look in the AFC. Patriots now have three losses.
Kansas, what the hell happened in Nashville yesterday?
Yeah, Kansas City Chiefs only have one loss, so many people are saying the Saints and the Chiefs now are the best team. But Pittsburgh Steelers still look pretty good.
You know,
again, there's still almost a half a season to go, a lot of football to go.
You know, the Patriots head coach, Bill Belichick, he mumbles anyway. But yesterday after the loss, the puzzling loss in Tennessee,
yeah, they look bad. The Tennessee's head coach is a guy that played for Belichick for years, Mike Vrabel, the linebacker. And he won Super Bowls while he was playing with the Patriots, and that led some people on social media to say, if you want to beat the Patriots, just hire someone that used to play for Belichick to coach your team. But the Saints, they are looking much better than their 2009 Super Bowl championship team. The Saints look much better than that. I mean, yesterday, they went and they played a game on the road against a team that's pretty good this year, the Cincinnati Bengals. The Saints scored on their first 9 possessions. They scored touchdowns on all 5 of their first half series.
But that's not
every
Bengals.
Time they got the ball in the first half, they scored a touchdown.
But without AJ Green, that's not the Bengals.
That's true. Their best wide receiver was missing. The Saints converted on their first 7 third down attempts. So the first 7 times it got the third down and whatever, the Saints converted. And they did not allow Cincinnati to convert any of their 6 third down attempts. For the 3rd consecutive game, the Saints offensive line did not allow a sack. You know, yesterday, Drew Brees threw as many touchdown passes as incompletions. 3. He threw 3 touchdown passes, and he went 22 for 25 in passing, and he only threw 3 incompletions. They only committed 1 penalty yesterday, and it was a meaningless 5-yard false start on the opening drive of the game. And then Thomas Morstead, their punter, he didn't have to punt once. The Saints got the ball 10 times and they no punts. Which led Thomas Morstead, the punter, to say after the game, quote, "Good thing I signed my contract extension before the season," unquote. They look great. Again, I mean, 2009 was exciting, the only time the New Orleans Saints won the Super Bowl. This team right now looks better than that 2009 team. I mean, even the defense is playing some good football. And so this coming Sunday, they already moved the game up. That was the one thing Saints coach Sean Payton was concerned about yesterday. They've played so few 12 noon games. Most of the games the Saints have played this year are either the later afternoon game or in prime time. Going into the game, Peyton was worried if the team would they'd wake up, if they would be ready to go at high noon. Yeah, they were. And so this coming Sunday, the New Orleans Saints home against the defending champions who aren't playing like it right now, the Philadelphia Eagles, don't see much of an issue.
That'll be the 3:25 game on CBS.
That'll be that'll be America's game of the week.
Will that be Jim Nantz and Tony Romo?
CBS.
Or will it be Iron Eagle?
No, CBS 3:30. That'll be Nantz and Romo. That'll be the number one team if they got the game. So I'll tell you, this is something. I mean, if you remember last year, they lost their first 2, the Saints, and then they kind of woke up and turned it around and played well, and then that godforsaken loss in the playoffs in Minnesota when they got beat by basically a Hail Mary. And then this year, they lost the first game of the regular season, and they look sloppy to come out of the season, and then they haven't lost since. And what do you think of all of the times they put Taysom Hill in the game, the 3rd-string quarterback?
He's having the time of his life. Did you see him without his helmet on the sidelines yesterday? He's laughing. He's having a great time.
It's fun watching
the time of his life.
It's fun watching him once in a while, and it's good that they get him in there and they some different looks for defenses. Maybe I'm being a little bit too personal here, but I think they're putting him in a little bit too much. But then again, you're listening to someone who has Drew Brees as their fantasy quarterback.
Yeah, same here.
And when they come in on the goal line and they put Taysom Hill in, I'm like, no! Where are you going with Brees?
I was not happy to see the first appearance of Teddy Bridgewater under center yesterday. It's like, no! I need more points from Drew Brees!
Brewster, that game was over at halftime.
Yeah, well,
Brees
really
didn't have to come out in the second half. I mean, he played the third quarter, but that was it. That game yesterday that the Saints played with the Cincinnati Bengals, that was a solid two-quarter workout.
Yeah.
That was a solid two-quarter workout. It was a solid two-quarter practice. That's what it was. That game was over at halftime. They could have went home.
It was a good sweat.
But even in their Super Bowl year, I don't know if they looked this dominating during the season. This is something, in the defense is looking better, and it stinks what happened with Dez Bryant. You know, the Saints got a good deal. They signed Dez Bryant for practically nothing. He made it through almost two practices and blew out his Achilles tendon. Dez Bryant was a New Orleans Saint for 2 days, and only in Metairie. He was never a New Orleans Saint in the Superdome. Or here he was a New Orleans Saint on airline for 2 days. And you see some of the people on social media, they were bummed out that they bought his jersey, 88 Bryant.
Right.
But I guess some people said that if you bought the jersey,
you still had time to hit cancel.
Yes.
Yes.
And the Saints, they still could use one extra wide receiver because they only have one wide receiver that's doing anything, and that's one of the best wide receivers in the league, Michael Thomas. But that second wide receiver spot that was held by Ted Ginn Jr., and then he got hurt. The rookie, Traquan, he's playing well, but he's only a rookie. He needs more time. And so they really don't have anybody. Yesterday they had this white kid that caught a couple of balls. This white wide receiver yesterday. But I think the Saints are going to sign Brandon Marshall if they haven't already. Because they could use a second wide receiver. And then other than that, keep an eye on the defense. But the defense looked so good yesterday. And that has to be disheartening for a team like the Cincinnati Bengals, who are pretty good. They have a winning record. They're on their home field. And they showed up there yesterday. And, I mean, to say they got outplayed was an understatement. They didn't even show up. Their home field yesterday in Cincinnati. They were horrible.
I can't tell if Andy Dalton, it's just that dopey look on his face. I can't tell if he cares or not.
Well, he cares.
Of course he does.
But you're right. The look on his face, even when they're winning, he looks stupid.
Yes. He is like the love child of Alfred E. Newman and... I can't think of anybody stupid enough looking.
He's got that bright red haircut.
Right.
Which matches the Cincinnati Bengals team colors. It matches his uniform pretty good. But,
Satisfying was it in Atlanta to see Cleveland beat the Falcons?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Actually, I think that game was in Cleveland. They whooped them. They didn't just beat them. They whooped them. So
what did I tell you about Nick Chubb, who I picked up 2 weeks ago?
I think he had the longest run in Cleveland Browns history yesterday. He had a run that was over 90 yards for a touchdown.
And he put up 35 points for me.
There you go.
Yes.
Yes. And then you look at the rest of the Saints division, every one of them lost. Not only did Atlanta get whooped in Cleveland, Carolina on Thursday night got destroyed, and Tampa Bay stinks. So this looks like this could be what some people said, the NFC South might have been the toughest division last year and maybe going into this year. It looks like the worst division this year, the NFC South. They're right there. They're battling the NFC North for the worst division.
And as we always do on Monday, we will wrap up Week 10 with Dirty Sunday Night Football.
Carson Wentz and the Eagles take on Dak Prescott. and the Dallas Cowboys.
Inside, you've got Joe Looney going against Fletcher Cox.
As Brandon Graham is able to get in there.
Look at that move inside.
Spearheaded by Wentz.
Carson Wentz was looking hard to his left.
Still looking for that tight end.
So you can get a little bit of a tip on that.
Third and a deuce.
Left that seam too wide open. Down the seam for Zach Ertz.
So they work the middle, but not deep enough.
Now they're staying big. Long, big Cowboys. Can't tell you how hard it is. Completely extended and still stay on your feet. That was brilliant by Aguilar.
Right.
You know, because we started playing the dirty version of these guys over the last few weeks, I paid attention, and last night I noticed how filthy they were.
Yes. And should I own up that that's me putting that together. I was up until midnight. That's why I have no sleep. No, it was not us.
Well, this is fun for the New Orleans Saints. If you're a football fan, this team looks better than their championship team in 2009. Good stuff. All right, coming up on the show. Hey, did you see how Saturday Night Live apologized to the former military veteran who lost an eye in Afghanistan, who they made fun of last week? They brought him on the show this week to apologize.
And we will have some of that.
I'll tell you about that and hang out with us. Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. 6 days after Election Day, voters in Florida, Georgia, and Arizona are still wondering who won. The president of Honduras has reacted, calling the United States a banana republic. Isn't that coming from that guy? It's wild. Even the Republic of Mozambique over in Africa has erupted in chaos over disputed election results over there. That African nation is so dysfunctional.
How dysfunctional is it?
It's being compared to Florida. So stay tuned. Coming up, Saturday Night Live apologized to the Afghanistan war veteran who they made jokes about last week. Did you catch that over the weekend? Stay tuned for that on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Led Zeppelin there. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. So last week we talked on the show how Saturday Night Live, during its weekend update segment, had comedian Pete Davidson on, and Pete Davidson told a joke about Dan Crenshaw, former Navy SEAL, running for United States Congress out of the Houston, Texas area. And he joked about him because he wears an eye patch. And the reason why Dan Crenshaw wears an eye patch is because he's a former Navy SEAL, and he lost an eye while he was serving a tour of duty in Afghanistan. Something blew up, and he blew out his eye. And it kind of messed up his other eye, too. His other eye's not perfect. So SNL, I guess, thought that was funny, or Pete Davidson thought it was funny. And Pete Davidson said, they showed a picture of him 2 weeks ago, and they said, yeah, this guy's actually running for Congress. He's not a hitman in a porno movie. That was the joke he used. And then Pete Davidson actually apologized on the air. He goes, I think he lost his eye in war or something. And it didn't come out right. It didn't. And we played it on the air last week. And look, pretty much nothing offends me. I've told you that before. But I just thought that joke was in poor taste. Out of everything you could joke about, really, you're joking about a guy who lost an eye during a tour of duty in Afghanistan. You're,
right.
You're joking about a Navy SEAL losing an eye.
Two things about that. And I mentioned this when we talked about it last week, and this is by no means to justify Pete Davidson or to quantify his joking of Dan Crenshaw. But Pete Davidson's dad did die in 9/11. He was one of the firefighters that was I believe part of the one of the buildings collapsed on him, if I'm not mistaken.
No, and I've seen stand-ups.
Hang on. The other thing is the difference between that joke is like a punch. That joke's like a punch in the gut. It's just boom out there. I mean, he does it in that kind of one-off way. Oh, Dan Crenshaw, blah, blah, blah. Here's the difference. Saturday Night Live can do something similar, but in a funny way. When they had Fred Armisen play former New Jersey governor.
No, he was the New York governor.
The blind David Patterson.
The blind New York governor. Yes.
And then he would do the thing, and he'd walk into the camera, and he would step into the shot wrong, and that was. I mean, you might find that in poor taste, but it was not as mean spirited as just sitting there with no character, with no writing, and just boom, just hitting the guy.
And
that's how I see it.
Yeah, and I've seen stand-up comics, and I've heard stand-up comics tell Pete Davidson 9/11 jokes about his father.
Well, there you go.
You know, I used to work with a couple of guys, Opie and Anthony, that made it really big on satellite radio, and they used to have all of these different comics in and such. And Pete Davidson was one of the comics.
Right.
And I've heard other comics, like sitting right next to him, tell 9/11 jokes and tell Pete Davidson father jokes about 9/11.
Everything goes around, comes around.
I guess so. But, and, you know, SNL is a show sometimes I watch, sometimes I don't. It depends if I'm home. And if I'm home, if there's a better movie on or there's something else on. I'm in a stretch right now in my life where I haven't been watching SNL as regularly as I used to. So I didn't see it last week, and I didn't see it this week.
You can time shift that. You don't have to watch it when it's on.
I know.
You know, it's either catch it streaming or... You still have your VHS, right? Betamax? Is that what you have?
No, but maybe I.
But you understand my point.
Maybe I just haven't been in the mood to watch SNL over the last, I don't know, year or so. I don't know. I go with SNL. I go in flows, kind of like the show.
I'm similar to you. I used to think that SNL was required viewing, because I just thought, as a pop culture thing, that to be in the know on Monday morning, that was something you had to have been exposed to. Now, when they started doing the digital shorts, and the big difference was you used to have to go all the way to NBC Universal's site to see something that had happened on Saturday Night Live. Then they got smart and they started their own YouTube channel, and it's much easier to dial up sketches from last week or from 5 years ago.
For many years, on social media, it was rough trying to find SNL, old SNL skits. And then when you would find them and you would share them or post them, a day or two later, they'd be taken down. They'd be removed.
Yeah. So they got into the 21st century with their own YouTube channel. You want to hear a little bit of this apology or no?
Well, yeah, play this again.
It's a little long. But...
Yeah, this is Dan Crenshaw, the one-eyed... former Navy SEAL who lost an eye during a tour of duty in Afghanistan, and he actually won his congressional seat in Texas.
I mean this from the bottom of my heart. It was a poor choice of words. The man is a war hero, and he deserves all the respect in the world, and I'm sorry.
Thank you, Pete. I appreciate you saying that.
So we good?
We're good. Apology accepted.
Just keep breathing.
It sounds like my phone's ringing.
That's his phone.
You're going to answer that?
No, and I was just going to let it ring, because that's rude to answer. Let's just let it go to voicemail.
No, it's cool.
Ariana Grande on his ringtone.
Yeah. Ariana Grande. Well, cool, man. Yeah.
Oh, do you know her?
All right. So that's funny. All right. So last week, I made a joke about a picture of you, and I feel like it would only be fair if you got me back and made fun of a picture of me. Does that sound okay?
I don't really need to do that.
No, come on. I deserve it.
All right, I'll do it.
Please?
One.
All right.
And now, first impressions with Lieutenant Commander Dan Crenshaw.
Thanks, Colin. This is Pete Davidson. He looks like if the meth from Breaking Bad was a person.
Not bad. So there, we're even. All right.
Hold on. Well, one more. This is.
All right.
He, lo- looks like a troll doll with a tapeworm.
Yeah, man. All right, that's good. We should wrap this up.
Oh, hold on. No, this is fun. This is fun.
Cool.
Pete looks like Martin Short in the Santa Claus 3. Okay,
that's... And it's funny.
Should have stopped at the first one.
Well, if you're not sure, Pete Davidson was engaged to the singer Ariana Grande,
right.
and that's why he had.
That's pretty funny.
Crenshaw had her song as his ringtone.
Yes.
So, and that's that. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Pete Davidson because, you know, when he first came on SNL, he wasn't in that many skits, and then all of a sudden, when he got high profile because he was dating Ariana Grande, he was in every other skit, and now, you know, now he's not with her anymore, but he's still making headlines. We'll see what happens with him.
Well, I don't know that he's in so many sketches, but he's all over the Weekend Update segment. But see, I have a problem with that because Saturday Night Live's history has always been characters. And I don't really, you know, whether it's... Whether
not the
it's
people who play
not
them.
The actual people.
Yeah.
Right? You know, it's like it's clumsy. And now it's a Weekend Update, and here's Pete Davidson to talk about whatever. Or here's Grace Jones. What's her name? Nora Jones. What's her name?
Oh, Leslie Jones.
Leslie Jones. I mean, she does everything in character. And it's just, that's not what I want to see. It's not the show. It's not your father's Saturday Night Live, that's for sure.
Yeah, I go back and forth. I'll watch it for a year or two, and then I'll take a few months off, and then I'll watch it again, and I'll take a little time off. I'm in one of those little time off moments right now for SNL.
Right.
And again, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I don't like the people that you see on social media when something on SNL makes headlines, and then they'll comment on it and say, oh, I didn't watch. I haven't watched SNL for years. It hasn't been funny. Well, you can't say it hasn't been funny if you haven't watched for years. They have hits and they have misses. They're like other things. You know, they have their good times. They're like a roller coaster. And then they have their bad times.
Right.
And you could say that about the very first and second season. And you could say that about this last season and every season.
Said about every season.
Every season in between.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, one other thing happened in New York City over the weekend.
What's that?
I'm sure a lot happened in New York. But one
we don't have time to talk about it at all.
But one other thing that made some news. Joe Perry, the guitarist for Aerosmith. Did you see that?
I did see that.
He was playing with Billy Joel.
In Madison Square Garden.
And by the way, it was Billy Joel's 104th show at Madison Square Garden.
He has a residency there, if you're not aware.
And Joe Perry hopped up on stage and played with him, the Aerosmith guitarist. But after he was done, he was having trouble breathing. And they called the ambulance, and Joe Perry was taken from Madison Square Garden backstage at Billy Joel's concert, taken by ambulance to a local hospital, and we understand he's doing fine now. He's 68 years old, Joe Perry is.
It's not the first time. I think back in 2016, I think he collapsed after a performance, and it was dehydration, exhaustion.
He played Walk This Way with Billy Joel. And Brewster, you and your wife saw Billy Joel when he came to New Orleans.
Yes.
And you were blown away. You said it was one of the best concerts you've ever seen. And his set list is one of the things that blew you away. That night, he played a lot of songs that he would only play in
exactly.
New Orleans.
He played Brown Sugar. He played, I don't have the list in front of me, but he played, seven or eight songs that he would only play here because it wouldn't make sense in Schenectady.
Or mention New Orleans or whatever the case
exactly.
may be. That's pretty cool. But good to know, Joe Perry. The reports say he could have gotten out of the hospital yesterday afternoon or last night. If he didn't, he'll be out first thing today. That's the latest we have. So he either got out yesterday or he's getting out of the hospital this morning. And he apologized to some fans on social media. Because this week he was supposed to be at a rock star fantasy camp in Florida. I guess he's one of those guys that goes, if you're a big fan of rock and roll, you could sign up for one of these things and you can go and hang out and play guitar with you.
Right.
So he's not going to be able to make that, but the rest of whatever his schedule said, he's going to be able to do. So. I've always liked Joe Perry. I always thought he was really, really cool. All right, coming up on the show, this guy who was in a store in New Orleans over the weekend, robbed a man of 25 cents, and he used a gun.
And we have a See Who Died
Dave. Stay tuned on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. See who died?
If you were to be an actor and you could be in filmdom, immortal, for just 9 words, well, you would be similar to this man who died yesterday, or actually on yesterday. Douglas Rain died at the age of 90. And we'll play the clip here in a minute. I had to count the words, make sure I got it right. Those words are, "I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that." Douglas Rain, the voice of Hal, the computer, in both 2001 A Space Oddity and the sequel 2010.
That's what he was known for.
He's immortal. John?
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
"I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that."
"What's the problem?"
"I think you know what the problem is just as well as I do."
"What are you talking about, Hal?"
"This mission is too important for me to allow you to jeopardize it."
"I don't know what you're talking about, Hal."
"I know that you and Frank were planning to disconnect me, and I'm afraid that's something I cannot allow to happen."
R.I.P. Douglas Rain.
Be pretty cool to be immortalized for something, anything, even if it's just that.
Right. If you were to be immortalized for just 9 words, do you know what 9 words that would be? I'll give you a minute to think about it.
Well, before I do, let me wrap up the Douglas Rain.
Yes.
Dead! At 90.
Yes. R.I.P.
I wanted to mention this story to you as well, because if a gun wasn't involved, I would have saved this for this coming Friday, the dumbest thing I read all week.
Right.
But we can't do the dumbest thing I read all week because today's Monday. We just started reading this week.
Although I think I have my runner-up already. It's so dumb. I don't think it can be eclipsed.
Man flashes gun, robs man of 25 cents in New Orleans store. After being denied 15 cents from a fellow customer at a New Orleans store. And if you live in New Orleans like I do, this happens. Sometimes you're in stores, you're outside of stores, you're on the street, and somebody will come up to you and ask you for money. And they ask you for all different amounts. This guy was in a store. He was in a store in the St. Rock neighborhood on Elysian Fields Avenue. And some guy walked up to him inside that store and said, "Hey, man, you got 15 cents? The other customer said, "No, I don't got 15 cents for you." So the man
put out his cigarette and then robbed him.
No, he flashed his gun. He had a gun on him. There's the gun. He said, "Now you got 15 cents. And then the guy who he asked gave him 25 cents. So it cost the guy an extra dime. And then after the asker got the quarter, he just fleed out the store without any merchandise. He just had the quarter.
I think he probably fled.
He fled out the store.
Fled out.
Maybe he had fleas.
Yeah. It was a flood of fleas.
So that happened. And then they had to call the police, and this was all over 15 cents or now 25 cents, and they had to write down the police report and all of that. And so there you go.
Mm.
Coming up next, we'll look at today in history. On this show, we call the segment "Why Today Doesn't Suck." Suck is next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. Let's look at today in history. And on this radio show, we call the segment
"Why Today Doesn't Suck."
Did you get a chance to go to a Po' Boy Festival yesterday?
I did not go to the Po' Boy Festival.
You missed a good time. It was a beautiful day. Just a couple little raindrops here and there.
It's the one on uptown on Oak Street?
Oak Street, yeah. The 12th annual. Mrs. Brewster and I went for a couple of hours. We had a great time.
What was your favorite Po' Boy?
Two of them, actually. One of them was the pork Po' Boy in the style of a banh mi sandwich from Pho Bistro, and then the second was the Happy Pig from Mahoney's.
I like Mahoney's. I've always been a big Mahoney's
spit it
fan.
Out. Spit it out.
They just opened another Mahoney's. There was always the one uptown, and they just opened the one in the quarter.
And today, November 12th, ironically, sandwich-wise, is National French Dip Day. You like a good French dip? Take a nice roast beef sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
And then just the clear au jus and stick that in there and then stick that in your face.
And you got to dip it in there.
Yes.
Yeah, I like
hence
that
the
lot.
Name, National French Dip Day.
Mm.
What you got?
All right. November 12th. It was today in 2004.
Why today doesn't suck.
Scott Peterson is convicted. He's convicted of murdering his pregnant wife, Lacey, and their unborn son, Connor. This happened out in California. A jury of 6 men and 6 women delivered the verdict 23 months after Lacey Peterson, who was pregnant, disappeared on Christmas Eve from their Modesto, California home. And that guy is still on death row at San Quentin, Scott Peterson. It just makes you wonder, when are they going to kill him? If he was convicted 14 years ago today, what's he got, another 14 years to go on death row up there in San Quentin? That was a sad story.
Hmm.
November 12th. Hey, Ellis Island closed today.
You mean today? Like earlier today?
Well, not today, but today in 1954.
Why today doesn't suck.
The gateway to America, Ellis Island, shuts its doors after processing more than 12 million immigrants since it opened 62 years earlier. So Ellis Island was open from 1892 to 1954. And then when it closed down in 1954, it just moved to the Texas-Mexico border.
But you can still tour Ellis Island, right? Is that true or no?
I believe so. I haven't been up there in a while, but you always used to be able to. It's pretty close to the Statue of Liberty Island.
Right. I haven't been out there in the harbor or whatever they would call that, where the statue is and where Ellis Island is.
The first immigrant to come to America through the gates of Ellis Island, 15-year-old Annie Moore in 1892. She was from Ireland, and she became the first person to pass through the newly opened Ellis Island, which then-President Benjamin Harrison designated as America's first federal immigration center in 1890. She was followed not that far after by a young Don Corleone. If you like The Godfather, you see him coming through. And that's where he got the name Corleone, because they got mixed up at Ellis Island.
Right.
And they named him after the town he came from.
Exactly. Well, they got a lot of names wrong. There were consonants added to the end of names and letters dropped and all manner of shenanigans like that. It was on this date, November 12, 2008.
Why today doesn't suck.
And I know you have a story every year about this person. It was on that date, on this date, that year, Mitch Mitchell, drummer for the Jimi Hendrix Experience, died in his sleep of natural causes in his hotel room at the age of 61, the hotel room in Portland, Oregon. And as you mentioned, towards the end of his life.
Well, he was in Portland, Oregon, in that hotel because he had a gig with his band that night. His band, a Jimi Hendrix tribute band.
Yeah, see, and it turned out it killed him.
I mean, think about that. Yeah. The Jimi Hendrix's drummer at the end of his life was drumming in a Jimi Hendrix tribute band.
Mm.
That is sad.
You know, a gig's a gig, they say.
And the third guy of that band, who's also dead, Noel Redding, I actually interviewed him when I was on the radio in Boston. There wasn't too much left in his mind when I was talking to him, but I actually did it.
Do we have tape of that? We can play that someday?
Maybe I can make a couple phone calls, maybe go find something.
It was on this date, November 12th, in 2002.
Why today doesn't suck.
Paul McCartney, I remember this, outraged Beatle fans by changing the credits on his live album Back in the USA from Lennon McCartney to McCartney and Lennon. That just doesn't even sound right, does
Ooh.
It? That's awful. Don't mess with history like that.
Booster, I've got a celebrity birthday for you.
All right.
no matter where you want to put this following person on the celebrity list. Happy birthday.
Paris Hilton.
Rachel Dolezal. She was the former Spokane, Washington NAACP president. But the problem with that was she was actually white and she only identified as black. But today's her birthday, and I don't know if she's going to jail or not, but she's getting her own reality television show. It's called Here Comes Honky Boo Boo. And if you want to send her a gift, she's registered at Cracker Barrel.
It was on this date, November 12th, 1976.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Yeah, get on that Queen bandwagon and just stay there. They released Somebody to Love. Arguably, in my opinion, Queen's best song. Somebody to Love. I would say not Bohemian Rhapsody, but I would say Somebody to Love. The first single off their fifth album, A Day at the Races, that song would reach number 2 on the UK singles chart and number 13 on the Billboard Hot 100 singles chart here in the States. And finally, on the music news side of this, and by the way, if you like music trivia and music minutia, tune in to Music Notes at Noon with Ginty starting at high noon Monday through Friday on Bayou 95.7. Happy birthday.
Ginty.
Happy birthday, born on this date in 1945.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Good God. Is he old? Neil Young, happy birthday today.
He's still going, though.
Now, speaking of Queen, you didn't attend Po' Boy Festival because you were seeing the Queen movie, right?
I'm going to
see it. What were your thoughts about Bohemian Rhapsody?
I'm going to see it this week. I might go see it today.
What is the matter with you?
I know.
What do you do when you leave here on Friday morning? Sleep until Monday morning?
No, there were a couple of things that I had to go do instead.
You and I actually had a good time Saturday at the second annual Bayou Road Balloon Festival. We met some very nice people out there. We gave out some fabulous prizes.
Prizes not fabulous.
And met some nice folks, including, and I'm going to let you tell the portion of the story, but the great band Remedy was out there. We met those guys. They're very young, but they're very good. They do some originals, and they do 90s covers. And you met... All right, this is the part of the story where you say...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, back in the day... Da, 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 da.
Yeah, you know, when we used to make appearances for the radio back in the day, I used to have bands come up to me. I mean, the guys in Godsmack came up to me and gave me their demo tape.
Right.
I mean, there were, and it was pretty cool.
Right.
On Saturday at the Balloon Fest, the mothers of the guys in the band Remedy came up to me and gave me their demo stuff and all of their information. And
yes.
I said, boy, that was pretty, but times have changed.
Yes.
But they were a very good band.
Very good.
I was impressed. And they're all in college, and it seems like they got their heads on straight. And I always love seeing young up-and-coming bands.
They're good kids, and we've got their phone number. We might maybe do something with them out of the building someday.
If you ever hear the band Remedy playing around you, go see them. Yeah, I highly recommend them.
And that is a segment that we call...
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Hey, Brewster, something else went on this past weekend in the area. Well, it's New Orleans. Mm. Things go on all the time. Lots of really cool stuff.
Mm.
But a band played a local venue, but there were some flyers going around that were very offensive, and the band says they had nothing to do with them. Stay tuned for the details on that coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. If you're listening right now and you're a veteran, I just wanted to thank you so much for your sacrifice and your service. Yesterday, Veterans Day, it was Sunday, so we weren't here. I know.
I was here.
Celebrities.
4 hours.
Oh, that's right.
Every Sunday from 4 until 8 p.m. I wish you would stop inferring that I'm not here.
That's right. The Brewster Fiesta. But I know in this country. You know, you see people on TV, you see them in the movies, whatever the case may be, and a lot of people fawn over people like that. Nah, the people that should really be fawned upon are veterans, people that made the ultimate sacrifice, people that sacrificed and served this country. And I just wanted to say that, and that's who I respect.
Very nice.
Coming up on the show, a couple of things happened at bars over the weekend. Did you see Christina Aguilera was in town? She played the Sanger Theater, but the night The singer, Christina Aguilera.
Oh.
But the night
before... Is she still somebody?
Well, not
apparently to... somebody thinks so.
Not to everybody, because the night before, she played the Sanger on Friday night.
Oh, don't give it away.
But on Thursday night, Brewster, she went into a bar, and she wanted to hop up on stage and sing with the... They didn't know... They wouldn't let her. And there's a video of her being told, get off the stage at this bar. Christina Aguilera! That... And a band played at a venue over the weekend, and there were some flyers that were made that were awful. And the band says, we didn't make these flyers. The venue said, we didn't make these flyers. Stay tuned for those two reports on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. You know, I always try to understand when people do things, even if I'm not interested in what they're doing. You know, if someone says, well, I'm going to see this or I'm going to do this, I'm always like, oh, it's nice that you have a life and that you get out and you do things. And even if I don't understand it, I try to at least realize that these people are living their lives and having a good time. Brewster, there's
one thing. You are a uniter, not a divider.
But there's one thing I don't understand. And I have a few Facebook friends that are like ringleaders in this activity. The people who go to the airport when the Saints are flying in from a road game, and to go stand there and to wave at the cars of the Saints players when they get out of the airplane and get into their car and drive away. And I see it every Sunday. I've got a couple Facebook, hey, who's going? You know, I could literally think of 1,000 other things that I could be doing. And again, if you like the Saints and that's a way for you to get closer to your Saints players.
Right.
I just, for the life of me, can't understand how someone would say, hey, let's go to the airport. Let's park the car. Let's get out and stand there and wave to the cars that have Saints in them that are driving by us right now.
That may or may not have Saints in them as they go by.
Again, I try to...
It's kind of a hit or miss. I've never done it, but the closest thing I ever did to that, I lived in Baltimore, and this goes back to 1983, and when the Orioles won the World Series that year in Philadelphia, up I-95, they had a thing, a little rally, like at 6 in the afternoon after the game was over, and I did go to that. You know, waiting for the... But I didn't... I've never gone to... And I say the same preamble you said. If that's what you like to do, if that's supporting the team, if you can sleep in on Monday and don't have a job, I mean, don't have to go to work early, that's...
Well, yesterday was easy because they played a noon game in Cincinnati.
Right.
But they did it, and I saw these people do it when they had a night game. I think it was in Minnesota.
Well, now, wait a minute.
They played a Sunday night game in Minnesota. They got home at like 4 in the morning, and there were people there.
Well, I have an acquaintance who posted a video of it, and I thought it was nighttime when they did that. So, but it gets, you know, now that the time has changed, it gets dark at 4 o'clock. So, not sure what time it was.
Yeah, so last night, I'm checking my Facebook, and I had a Facebook friend said, hey, we're getting ready to head to the airport. Who's coming? Man, wow. All
right. Man, that's, you know, who are we to judge?
All right, so over this past weekend, as always in New Orleans, there were a ton of things to do. Two of the things going on, I saw stories about and I found very interesting. One of them, there was an Iron Maiden tribute band who was playing Southport Hall.
They played Saturday night.
They're called Maiden Immortal. But when they showed up at the gig, because they're from Pensacola, when they showed up at the gig, they saw a bunch of flyers that they didn't write. And the flyers basically said whites only for this band tonight, and they had a swastika on it.
Right.
And when the band saw this, they were like, wait a minute, we didn't make these flyers. And they talked to the management of Southport Hall, and Southport Hall's been open for 15 years now.
Right.
Southport Hall said, we didn't make these. We have nothing to do with these. As a matter of fact, we've been open 15 years, and nothing like this has ever We've never seen anything like this before.
Right. I first saw this posted on Facebook, I think Saturday morning. And I read it and I saw it and it's like, the band is what? I mean, it's no, it's, they want to make it very clear that, that it is, certainly was not the band. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know who's behind this. And it's very bizarre.
On the flyers, it said Rock for White Power featuring Maiden Immortal. And then it said 10 PM whites only.
Right.
And both Southport Hall, where the gig was being played, and the band both tweeted and both sent out social media posts saying that this is wrong. We don't know where these came from. Who do you think would do something like that? Why would they do it? I mean, it's an Iron Maiden tribute band.
I can't think of a similar situation where a music act from either locally or from out of town has been, where somebody else's message has been glommed onto a show like this. I can't even imagine. So, you know, hopefully the band's social media post and management of Southport Hall have made this clear that it is certainly neither of those two. It's not the band. It's not Southport behind this.
Yeah, both the venue and the band condemned the whites only flyers. I wonder if the Iron Maiden tribute band, I wonder if they had Eddie with them.
They have yes and no. I haven't seen them. I have acquaintances who are apparently fans of them, but I have not seen them.
Did you notice Iron Maiden last week announced they're touring North America again?
Yes.
This year? Next year, whatever, and I hope that show comes to New Orleans. That would be something.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one.
I haven't seen them probably 82.
So when you saw them, Eddie was little.
Yes. Eddie was just a wee lad.
So that was one thing I noticed when it came to music.
And I was just a wee lad in 82.
In New Orleans over the weekend. Another thing I noticed on Friday night, Christina Aguilera, the former Pop-Tart, she played the Sanger Theater. The night before, on Thursday night, there's a video that I just watched. She's in some bar. It doesn't say what the bar is. We don't know what bar it is.
But we know it's here.
Yes, it's here in New Orleans. There's some band playing. She walks up to the side of the stage, steps onto the stage, and she asks one of the band members if she could sing a song. The band member, the way he's looking at her, had no idea who she was. And he said, no, you can't come up here and sing a song. We're in the middle of a song.
Are you sure it wasn't karaoke at the Cat's Meow?
It was not karaoke at the Cat's Meow.
You know, I'm still on that list from about 6 years ago. 4 years ago.
Someone on Twitter made this video and then posted it to Twitter. As a matter of fact, their Twitter handle is Dr. Media Pro. And they tweeted the video, and underneath the video they wrote, my wife is in New Orleans, and last night at the bar she was at comes Christina Aguilera. She asked the house band if she could sing a tune, and nope. She was denied.
They said, beat it, sister.
That would have been so cool to see her sing. More to the story, Christina? ? So I push play and I watch the video, and that's Christina Aguilera walks up to the side. It's a bar in New Orleans. We don't know which bar. We don't know who this band is. Walks up on the side of the stage, asks the keyboard player, and the keyboard player looks at her like she's crazy and says no, and then she just hopped off the stage. And evidently, the next night at the Sanger Theater when she played there, she mentioned it. She said, I went on stage to sing a song at a local bar with a local band last night, and they said no. Now, think of that a few years ago. What was the biggest hit she ever had? Was that Genie in a Bottle? Like, if she was just coming off of that, probably most people that were, most bar bands that were playing would probably want her to come up and sing a song with them. But this band, the other night, on Thursday night here in New Orleans, said, nah, nah, nah. When Christina Aguilera walked up there, and they said, get off the stage. Surprised they didn't have security remove her from the stage. All right. Coming up on the show, a Mississippi senator is in a little bit of trouble for joking about a public hanging. We'll explain coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. You watch much news, and if you do, have you seen the coverage of the three different fires out in California that are going on right now? There's one up north in Northern California, and then there are two big ones in Southern California, and now several celebrities' homes have burnt to the ground. Several celebrities' homes are no longer standing. Neil Young, he tweeted out, he just lost his second home in his lifetime to wildfires in California. Also, actor Gerard Butler took a picture of him standing in front of his home, which isn't there anymore, in Malibu. And he said, and he tweeted, "Return to my house in Malibu after evacuating. Heartbreaking time across California. Inspired as ever by the courage, spirit, and sacrifice of firefighters. Thank you to the Los Angeles Fire Department." And then he says, "If you can, support these brave men and women." Miley Cyrus, her house burnt to the ground. And when I say these people's homes burnt to the ground, they're mansions. They're mansions. They're probably living in one of the nicest, if not the nicest, weather place you could live in America, Southern California. But you see these fires every year, and now we're seeing them multiple times a year. I mean, is it still news when homes in California burn down year after year after year? It happens all the time. As a matter of fact, Kim Kardashian and her husband, Kanye West, were forced to evacuate their home because of the fire. Fire officials gave her just 1 hour to pack up and haul ass. So, I mean, I feel awful for these people. It stinks. And I'm sure most of them probably have insurance. I mean, if you have a mansion and you live in the Malibu Hills, chances are you have fire insurance.
Yeah, but chances are you have irreplaceable items as well. Probably less so than, I mean, knowing the lay of the land, no pun intended, with as the fires are prone to come through, you probably would be smart not to have as many irreplaceable items there. But it's just, you know, all of the, it spread over to I think People's Choice Awards. You know, they mentioned it. There was a moment of silence for the Pittsburgh shootings, the California shootings, and then the California wildfires during all of the NFL games yesterday.
Yeah, well,
so it's a shame.
Yes,
it shouldn't make it any less of a shame because they're big Hollywood stars.
No, but the other thing I'm asking, Brewster, is it news when it happens all the time?
Well, yes.
You know, hey, here's wildfires, but you can't say you're surprised because
well, you
see it every year.
You don't want news organizations to talk about it?
No, but I'm just wondering if it happens every year and sometimes it happens more than once a year, is it still big news when all of these acres burn in Florida and California and celebrities' houses and other people's homes burn down? I mean, it happens all the time. All right, coming up next, we're going to tell you about that Mississippi senator who's under the gun for joking about a sitting front row for a public hanging. We'll tell you about that coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock, the John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. So we had a couple of more apologies by famous people because they did things that they, well, maybe shouldn't have done. But as you know, in the year 2018, we live in a country where if you maybe do something fairly controversial, People go after you. They go after your job. They go after everything about it instead of just not paying attention. That's something that has changed. One of the things that has changed the most in this country is I remember there was a time in our country when if someone said something that some people didn't like, they just really didn't pay attention to that person anymore. They turned them off the television or turned them off the radio or didn't go see their movies or whatever the case would be. Now they want that person out of society. If someone says or does something that a bunch of people don't like, those people want that person cut off from society. They want them out of work. They want them unemployed. It has really become a spectacle. I've got a couple of examples where people have just had to apologize for something. Senator jokes about sitting front row at public hanging.
Oh, boy.
A Mississippi senator was caught on video brashly joking that she'd be a rapt spectator at a public hanging, prompting her opponent, who's black, to blast the comment as reprehensible. Quote, "If he invited me to a public hanging, I'd be in the front row," unquote, said Senator Cindy Hyde-Smith. And that clip was posted yesterday on Twitter by a journalist and a blogger. That line drew cheers from a group of supporters at the November 2nd event hosted by a cattle rancher in Tupelo, Mississippi. The full context around that statement isn't 100% clear, but that woman, that politician, she faced swift backlash. Cindy Hyde-Smith's decision to joke about hanging when the history of blacks is marred by countless incidents of this barbaric act is sick, said the NAACP president, Derek Johnson, in a statement yesterday. Any politician seeking to serve as a national voice of the people of Mississippi should know better. And many are saying that even a joke like that has no place in public discourse, especially coming from a woman who's running for senator. She is a senator.
I have the audio here. She's only helped by this. Because it's in a public square and there is it's quite noisy. She's mic'd from very far away, obviously from somebody's cell. Let's go ahead and do this. But luckily for her, there's a train going by and it's very difficult to hear.
Yeah, you couldn't hear her
accent
well,
is certainly what you would expect.
But yeah, that's what she said. If he invited me to a public hanging, I'd be in the front row. And I guess if, again, Mississippi...
When do people not learn? Is learning something...
There are probably other jokes she could have told.
Yeah. I mean... I'm flummoxed by this. Yes, I've used the F word. I'm flummoxed. When do people just not... When are people going to learn?
I mean, a senator in Mississippi making a joke about a public hanging. There's probably other materials she could have used. There's probably other places she could have gone to find the joke.
It's not that hard. I'm speechless. I'll get over it, but I'm speechless.
Mm.
You know, it reminds me of the then ESPN reporter Kelly Tillman, who commenting on, and this was 10 years ago, commenting on how Tiger Woods at the time was just mowing through the field. And she was talking about how his opponents were going to take him in a back alley and lynch him. Remember that comment?
I remember that comment. It was she could have used other words there, yes. Lynching Tiger Woods. Yeah, I remember that.
Mm-mm-mm.
You know, public hangings, I don't know if you've seen any video. You know, people used to get dressed up, like the people, like, you know, the women would put on their best clothes and the men put on their Sunday suits and they'd say, hey, they're going to go hang these guys.
The public hanging at high noon is not just a whimsical dramatic invention. I mean, that's, yeah. There are several movies, I think probably maybe the Clint Eastwood movie Hang 'Em High, I can think of showing that. Or there might be A Fistful of Dollars. One of the Clint Eastwood movies, if not multiple ones, were, you know, set in the Old West. And then famously, True Grit has a hanging sequence where Mattie Ross is, she's supposed to be 14 years old-ish. Her traveling companion tries to cover her eyes. And she's like, no, I'm here. I'll see it all.
Yeah, those are old Western hangings.
Right.
I mean, I'm talking about the hanging the black people in the South. I mean, people would bring their kids.
Well, no.
Kids, and, you know, you'd make drinks. It was a social scene. This is what
you're,
people
you're
did.
Getting confused, though, because there were the atrocities. I mean, for someone to be, I'm talking about public hangings, and I think you're kind of putting lynchings in that category. There were too many instances where black men and sometimes black women just would disappear, and that is what happened to them. And there were no spectacles at high noon about that. It just happened in the middle of the night. So two different things.
A little
there.
Bit different. Well, maybe that's what Senator Cindy Hyde-Smith should say to try to clarify her remark when she said, if he invited me to a public hanging, I'd be on the front row.
I think she's describing what I'm talking about.
Well, people are looking at it as racist.
But it's not. Yeah, but let me make no mistake. By no means is there any justification for what she said. None.
Mm.
No matter what she's describing. It's just awful.
Well, she's not the only public figure apologizing for saying something or posting something on social media. Brent Musburger is back in the news.
You are looking live. What are we looking live at, Brent?
Well, he used to be big with CBS
sure
Sports.
He was.
Now he's just, I believe, the radio voice of the Oakland Raiders.
He is also, I want to say he does like a fantasy sports thing on satellite radio. Also,
and I think he's based out of Las Vegas these days.
Could be.
But he's the radio voice of the Oakland Raiders, who are moving to Las Vegas. But he had to apologize to anyone who was offended by his mocking Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren. He sent out a picture of Donald Trump speaking at a Montana rally last week.
Mm.
And behind Donald Trump, there were 5 guys all wearing headdresses. They all look like Native Americans. They all look like American Indians.
Right.
And Brent Musburger tweeted that photo, and he wrote underneath it, Elizabeth Warren's relatives backing Trump in Montreal. And he had the word relatives in quotations.
Right.
And so, evidently, it got
Montana, not Montreal.
Montana, yeah, that's where the rally was. Well, I guess it got back to Brent Musburger that some people were offended, so he said, "If you were offended, I'm sorry. I was just having fun."
You got to be careful.
And every time we talk about things like this, Brewster, I always look right at you and I say, you know, pretty much nothing offends me. So, you know, I don't.
No, but you.
Oh, Brent Musburger and that senator from Mississippi. They should die. You know.
No, but you know what's in poor taste when you see it.
Sure.
It's. That's why I don't want those of you listening to confuse the fact between what we report that others are saying and that we're not saying it, because that has gotten some people recently in a lot of trouble as well. And that's why I hesitate
mean
to
someone talking about someone else
right.
saying something,
exactly.
And then those people got in trouble.
And then, right, and then it becomes osmosis, and it turns out that, you know, it's. I always make the point that we listen to the radio sitting here with very expensive headphones, or at least mine are. I don't know about yours. There's not. But people listening to the radio right now, you're driving, you got the window cracked, the kids are talking, trying to navigate through traffic. And I just...
What did I just hear?
Exactly. That's why I hesitate for a moment to relate the story of what Kelly Tillman, the ESPN then reporter, said about Tiger Woods. Because then all of a sudden, wow, did you hear what they... I can't believe they said that. No, I'm saying what was said years ago just to add background, add history to, you know, what we're talking about. But certainly... And by the way, this is the real Brett Musburger. We know that because it has the little blue check mark next to his name. Because there are several fake Brett Musburgers on Twitter.
Oh, I'm sure there are.
But this one is, at Brett Musburger. You are looking live at my tweets.
Yeah, that's how you know on Twitter if it's the real person, if there's a blue check mark.
It's been verified, yes.
How about that? Well, here we are. You know, people say, do things, post things, and it's... They're thinking it's a joke, or they're thinking, well, it's not that big of a deal. The next thing you know, they get called out on all of this stuff, and they have to apologize. And right. hope Brett Musburger is still calling the Oakland Raiders games. As sad as that is right now.
We'll see.
Because they're as bad a team in the NFL as we have. But that's that. All right, coming up on the show, we'll tell you about the Louisiana woman who got in a fight. She got arrested for that fight. And wait till you hear one of the things she did during the fight. That's coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Saw this headline. Port Allen woman accused of setting woman's wig on fire. This happened in Baton Rouge. A Port Allen woman is accused of fighting another woman. And during the fight, she set the other woman's wig on fire. Good thing she pulled the woman's wig off of her head first and then took out the cigarette lighter and lit the wig on fire. 34-year-old Sharita Griffin and another woman began arguing outside of a home yesterday morning at about 8:30. According to the police report, the argument between the women escalated and Sharita Griffin hit the woman. The other woman then armed herself with a knife and stabbed Griffin. Well, Griffin wasn't having it. After she was stabbed by the woman, Griffin pulled the woman's wig off of her head. She then took out the cigarette lighter and set her wig on fire. From what I understand, Brewster, that's really you're really sending a message. You're really telling someone you mean business when you pull the wig off of their head and then light it on fire. Responding officers showed up. Women were continuing to fight. One woman had the knife. The other woman had the wig on fire in her hand.
It certainly sends the message, "Hey, I don't like your wig."
Hmm. And then finally, the woman with the knife who lost the wig, she got into her vehicle and took off because she didn't want to be hit with a shovel that Sharita Griffin picked up in her other hand. So she had the shovel in one hand, the wig on fire in the other hand, and now the other woman's getting in her car and taking off. But only one arrest, not the woman who stabbed Sharita Griffin. She didn't get arrested for anything. Only Sharita Griffin got arrested. And one of the things that she was arrested for was lighting the woman's wig on fire. See something new every day when you check the police reports. All right, coming up next on the show, the New York Times had to cancel.
That rag.
They had to cancel a luxury tour. We'll tell you where it was at, and that's probably why they had to cancel it. Stay tuned. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. Hey, I wanted to bring this up really quick before I talk about something else, because we didn't really talk about it that much on the show when it happened. It was about a week or two ago. When the guy from Louisiana, Don Lemon, He's on CNN at night. He's the black gay guy, and he's on CNN. And I only bring that up because just so you'll know who I'm talking about, in case you're not sure. It doesn't matter that he's black or gay. But he said something a couple weeks ago that had me and many others scratching our heads. He said the biggest threat to the United States of America is white men. And that would be me, because I'm white. Brewster over here, you're white. And every other white man in this country. And I don't know why Don Lemon said that, but that's what he said. He said the biggest threat to the United States of America is white men. And the reason I'm bringing it up now, because I just saw a picture not that long ago of Don Lemon and his boyfriend. And his boyfriend's white. And I wonder if they're, you know, laying in bed, if Don Lemon really believes that. Or maybe his boyfriend is one of the white guys that we don't have to worry about. That's why you gotta be careful when you're in the media, when you have a public forum, when you make a blanket statement like that. And again, I think Don Lemon is probably just saying that because maybe some other racial groups maybe get pinned with that. I mean, like in your mind right now, if you're driving to work, who is the most dangerous person to the United States of America? What is the most dangerous person to our way of life? You know, for a while there, it was looking like the Middle Eastern terrorists were, because every time you saw some kind of a terrorist attack, a mass shooting, something like that, you're thinking, oh man, some lunatic is screaming Allah Akbar. You know, you're thinking that. And we had told you on the show about the times where I had watched the news and I had seen people say that whenever there was a terrorist attack, there were several news guys that went on the news and they were saying, well, you know, I hope this isn't a Middle Eastern person. I hope this is a white American male. And I would always ask, why would you hope it's anybody? And I guess in their minds, they're thinking, well, to maybe take some of the heat off this one particular group of people. Well, look, you can't make up the news. People that are causing problems for people, they are who they are. You can't make up their background or whatever the case may be. But I was just, I never really talked about it that much, how Don Lemon on CNN said that white males are the biggest threat to the United States of America. And, I could probably think of a few other groups that you could probably slide in front there. I'm not going to get into it now. But then I saw a picture of him over the weekend with his boyfriend, and I wonder how his boyfriend feels about that. I wonder if his boyfriend agrees with him or not. Maybe Don got lucky and just got one of the good ones. All right, I wanted to bring this up. New York Times cancels luxury tours of Iran. Who knew there was such a thing? And with that country's, with the way that they treat their people, with the way that they have human rights debacles, it's something how people would pay money to go on a luxury tour of Iran. I'm thinking, out of all the countries I could think of, all the countries I could pick and choose to go on a luxury tour of, Iran wouldn't be in the upper echelon of those countries. Well, the New York Times newspaper said Friday it is ending a series of journalist-guided luxury trips to Iran for its readers as global political tensions continue to escalate. Quote, we're suspending the Iran tours because of difficulties related to the issuance of visas for our experts. Well, yeah, it has nothing to do with the fact that they kill their own people if they don't agree with them politically. And that many of the people, especially the younger people that live in that country, would overthrow their government tomorrow if they had the opportunity. It has something to do with their difficulties related to the issuance of visas for our experts. That's why the New York Times has canceled their luxury tours of Iran. Isn't that something? I had no idea people were interested in such a thing. And that's what the New York Times is saying, and that's the reason why they're saying that they're ending this in their newspaper. And they declined to comment on whether them doing this is also a reaction to Donald Trump's administration's tightening of sanctions when it comes to Iran. Because when he pulled the United States out of the Iran nuclear deal, well, something what they did. This trip apparently is still going. They're still running some things, but they said it doesn't look good for us to have these luxury tours of the country of Iran. And maybe they can come up with another country they can find. Maybe Iraq right next door. I mean, there's countries they can do luxury tours of.
Different part of the world, but I have a teacher from high school who I'm friends with on Facebook. And ironically, he's a big fan of Mardi Gras and comes down for Mardi Gras every year. But he's in his mid-60s now, I guess, retired. Do you know where he's on vacation? Or I shouldn't say vacation. You know where he is right now traveling? He's in Bogota, Colombia.
Wow.
I would have thought that, am I stuck in the 80s? I thought Colombia was, is it safe to go to Colombia? Apparently it is. Well, he's there.
If you know where you're going.
He's posted pictures, so apparently he's okay so far.
Yeah, and I guess Bogota, hell, that's where the airport is. From everything I've heard about Colombia, just watch out for Medellin.
Yes.
But I guess Bogota's okay.
Hmm.
Yeah. You know.
Well, I'm assuming that he's... You know, I don't know his itinerary, so I don't know exactly where he's going. I just thought that was very. I can't think of anyone that I personally know or an acquaintance or teacher or whatever that's spent time in Colombia.
I know a couple of people that spent time in Colombia. Hmm. That, you know, their government isn't going after their.
Not talking about Columbia University.
Yeah, their government isn't going after their own people, like let's say Iran's is, and a country like that. If you disagree with the government, that kind of thing. Yeah, Colombia just had the cocaine issue. That was the big deal with Colombia. Here it's nice there this time of year, actually. All right, I just wanted to bring that up, how the New York Times says it is now canceling its luxury tour of Iran situation over there. All right, coming up on the show, we're going to talk more about the New Orleans Saints yesterday. But did you hear what the coach of the Saints did in the locker room before the game? Well, besides getting his team fired up to go kick some butt, we'll explain coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. Blind Melon there. It's a shame. They're probably going to go down as a one-hit wonder, but I enjoyed Blind Melon. I really liked them. They had a lot of good songs, in my opinion. And their career was cut short by the death of their lead singer right here in the city of New Orleans. Shannon Hoon died before a Tipitina's gig. OD'd. They found him dead on his bus.
Shannon Hoon from Lafayette, Indiana.
Yeah, I always liked those guys. I always thought they were underrated. And, you know, it's a shame, Brewster. They're probably only going to be known for that, you know. But they had, in my opinion, several really, really good songs. So. Hey, so if you spend a lot of time on the internet, you know, you learn things that happen in people's lives, and sometimes you just look at them and then you say to yourself, what the hell am I doing on this website? I don't know if you've ever spent any time on Reddit, but, you know, if you're on the website reddit.com, people send in their life stories to Reddit, and then people talk about them. And one story that I saw the other day, this woman, along with her mother and her soon-to-be future mother-in-law and a couple of other family members, went to look for her wedding dress. This woman had been dating this guy for 10 years. They had met in college, and they decided to get married. So they went and looked for a wedding dress, and they had what seemed to be a good day. But then after they all split up and went their own ways, the mother-in-law texted to her soon-to-be future daughter-in-law, and the text looked like it was accidental. She didn't mean to send this text to her daughter-in-law.
And it said, I'll kill you!
No, the text said that the whole day was a bleep show. You know, a crap show. Yeah.
Got it.
And she said that my future daughter-in-law's mother advised her not to take my son's last name for career reasons. So she obviously sent that text to this girl by mistake.
Right.
She didn't mean to send it to her soon-to-be future daughter-in-law, but she ended up getting it. What do you
How'd
think
you like
about
to be
that?
A fly on the wall at that reception.
But what do you do if you're the daughter-in-law there with the your soon-to-be mother-in-law saying that not only did she just spend the day with you and it was a bleep show, the whole day she spent with you, she then said, "Boy, her mother said don't take my son's last name for professional reasons," and I guess there was a conversation that day. While they were searching for the wedding dress, that the bride's mother did say, you know, you should keep your own personal name. You know, you should take his name for your personal life, your groom's name, but for your professional life, you should keep your old name. And then I guess the woman chimed in and said, well, I always wanted to keep my personal and my professional life separated.
Right.
What does that mean, Brewster? If a woman says, yes, I will marry you, but I do not want to take your name. What does that mean?
There are professional reasons. I don't really understand the personal reasons.
Is that emasculating to the guy?
It shouldn't be. I don't know.
I mean, how would you feel about
that? Well, there are some professional instances where Mrs. Brewster uses her maiden name. For reasons that I choose not to go into, just because of her job.
Well, good thing for...
But I don't understand. I've never understood hyphens, and I've never understood I'm just not going to take your name at all.
I don't care.
I just don't really understand it.
You mean
there are some for whom that is a tradition that has just become passé. And
you mean you'll marry me, but you're not going to take my name?
That's right.
What's going on? All right, coming up next, it's our commercial free ride. And the New Orleans Saints are officially a juggernaut. That's with a capital J. Stay tuned for that report coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Yesterday, before the Saints game, in the locker room at Paul Brown Stadium in Cincinnati, the fire alarm went off. And instead of in the Saints locker room, and instead of getting up and exiting the stadium or looking around, as soon as the fire alarm went off, Sean Payton turned around and he broke it to make it stop.
That's awesome.
Yeah, well, he was in the middle of saying something to his team, getting
right.
them ready.
I wonder if that was done on purpose.
Well, he wasn't going to be bothered by that. And there was no fire in the stadium or locker room.
Was it the reflection off of Andy Dalton's, what would you call that? Is that like a high fade, that awful hair of his?
Yeah, that bright red coif.
Oh, jeez.
I just got a kick out of that, and I saw something else. Yesterday, the New Orleans Saints scored 51 points. Mm-hmm. This weekend, all of the other teams in their division, the other three teams, combined to score 40 points. Again, and not only are they playing great, I think this is statistically, and this is saying something, this is Drew Brees' best season that he's ever had so far. And that... The guy guaranteed going to the Hall of Fame, and that's saying something. So I wanted to mention that, and I also wanted to mention this quickly, speaking of fire alarms, because we talked a little bit earlier this morning about the awful wildfires out there in California, how thousands of people are forced to evacuate their homes. A couple of big fires in Southern California. One big fire in Northern California. And then we were telling you about some of the celebrities who have lost their homes. I mean, completely lost their homes to the fire. They have found looters of some of these homes in the Northern California fire. As a matter of fact, these looters dress up like firemen. They put on the yellow, fire proof jackets.
And going to hell.
Well, that's something. Yeah, they disguise themselves as United States Forest Service workers to gain access to the restricted areas. And then they go into the homes that have been evacuated.
Going straight to hell. That's awful.
Look, I have no respect for thieves, but would you, when you talk about these thieves, I mean, they're risking their lives for their trade, for what they do. They are putting themselves in harm's way. So they've arrested at least two men dressed in these yellow jackets worn by the United States Forest Service personnel. They were arrested in smoldering fire zones near the Sierra Nevada Mountains. We don't know exactly what the men had been stealing, but police have been flooded with over 50 reports of looters in that region.
You know what the punishment should be? It's like, okay, keep your gear on. Here's 100 pounds of firemen's fighting gear, and come help us put out the fires.
They should make them fight the fires?
Yes.
They should make them do. But boy, those are here's thieves that are willing to risk their lives for their thievery. Who figured? Never thought we'd see looters there.
Mm-mm-mm.
No, when the bands used to come up to me, oh, hey man, yeah, could you play us?
Right.
Now the mothers of the guys in the band, hey man.
Well, just because she's a mother doesn't mean she's necessarily single. I think you should have. Well, never mind.
No, anyways,
never mind.
Hey, thanks for listening. We appreciate it. Ginty's next. Ginty, he's got your music notes at noon. We'll chat again tomorrow morning around 5:30 here on Bayou 95.7.